Shalom, Rabbi Galperi.
Shalom, Ilan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Now we're really, really inching closer to the Seder. You know,
yeah, we're getting closer and closer. Everything is clean, everything, no chametz around.
That's good. You know, we're less than 4 days away. It's really creeping up on us very quickly. But that's good. You know, Passover is a great holiday. It's a family holiday. It's a time that everyone can get together, all the families and the kids. You know, all the kids can ask all the questions they wanted for the whole year, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get straight into it. You know, part two of our Pesach discussion. Last week, obviously, we discussed the importance of what Passover is, the story of Passover, why we don't do chametz and why we do matzah, and we talked about the aspects of Pesach. This week, I thought we would talk about more, go through quickly in what the items that we have on the Seder plate, on our plate that we're going to have at the table representing the certain things of Passover, why we do the four cups of wine, why we do the bitter herbs. You know, a lot of people have the custom to recline when they're drinking their four cups of wine or eating their matzah. And hopefully we'll be able to get through to maybe to talking about one insight into how Passover is really for the kids and how we can apply that to our kidly life as adults. The Seder, obviously the highlight of the Passover is the two Seders, which we observed on the first night and the second night of the holiday. And the Seder is a 15-step family-oriented tradition. And obviously, as Jews, we're also going to have a full-packed feast in the middle of the Seder. It's not only enough that we drink wine and we eat the grape juice, we eat the matzah and, you know, eat the lettuce and the maror and so on and so forth. We also have a full-fledged meal, so we're not gonna go too hungry. But if you look, the main focal points of the Seder is obviously there are really four. And if you do these four, aspects, you've fulfilled the whole mitzvah of Pesach. Number one is you got to eat the matzah. There's a certain measurement that you have to eat of the matzah, it's a diet, which is if you're eating the round matzah, the shmur matzah is about a half a matzah, and if you're eating the machine-made matzah, the square matzah, I think it's about a matzah, full matzah, maybe a little bit less, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. And then you have eating the bitter herbs, obviously, to commemorate the bitter slavery that the Israelites, the Jews, endured when they were in Egypt. You have drinking of the four cups of wine or grape juice, which is, you know, a royal drink to celebrate our newfound freedom. And then obviously then we go into the recitation of the Haggadah, which is talking about in detail the story of Exodus from Egypt. And the Haggadah is really the fulfillment of the biblical obligation to recount and to tell our children the story of Exodus on Passover. So these are the four primary main focuses that we have to have, that we have to do in order to fulfill the Passover mitzvah commandment.
Yeah.
Now, on our Seder plate, you know, we have quite a bit of things. We have a shank bone, which is a piece of roasted meat, which represents the lamb that was a special paschal sacrifice on the eve of the Exodus from Egypt. We have the egg, which is a hard-boiled egg, which represents the holiday offering brought in the days of the Holy Temple. We then have the bitter herbs, which is the maror, which reminds us of the bitterness of the slavery of our forefathers in Egypt, where we have, you know, either lettuce and horseradish, that we try and get the fresh grated horseradish, you know, romaine lettuce. The paste, which is the charoset, which is a mixture, people have different ways of making it, apples or pears and nuts and wine,
yeah,
which, if you look at it, resembles the mortar and the bricks that the Jews had to make, and they toiled and they worked hard for King Pharaoh. You then have also the vegetable, which is a non-bitter root vegetable, alludes to the backbreaking work of the Jews as slaves. And then we have the lettuce, which the lettuce symbolizes the bitter enslavement of our forefathers in Egypt. And that's the primary main thing that you find on the Seder plate. Now, we talked about having the four cups of wine. But the question really is, why the four cups of wine? Why do we need to have four cups of wine? And the Torah, if you look, uses four expressions of freedom in connection with our liberation from Egypt. It says, Vohoseiti, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti, Velakafti. And I took you out, I saved you, I redeemed you, and I brought you. So those four expressions of freedom represent each of the one cups that we drink. Also, it is brought down that the children of Israel had four great merits that even while they're in exile, they never changed. Number one, they'd never changed their Hebrew names, even though while they were in exile in Egypt, they still remained with their Hebrew names. Number two, they continued to speak their own language, which was Hebrew.
Yeah.
And number three, they remained highly moral. They were very moral people. They never wanted to cheat one another. And number four, they remained loyal to one another. They were always there for one another. They did favors for one another. They never went behind anyone's back. So those four great merits that they had, even while they were in exile, also shows on every one of the four cups that we have. And obviously, a lot of people have the custom that when we drink our four cups of wine, we recline. And the reason why we recline, and also when we eat the matzah, is we recline to our left side to show the fact that we are free people. Because in ancient times, only free people had the luxury of reclining while eating. If you were enslaved, or you had hardships, or you had certain things going on, you didn't really enjoy yourself when you were eating or drinking. You didn't recline. You just ate to, you know, just to fill your stomach a little bit, and that was it. But when you had that luxury and you were free, you recline. So we recline, showing us that we are that freedom. We are free people. Now, obviously, Pesach is a phenomenal holiday, not only for ourselves as adults, but also for kids. Kids see the holiday of Passover. They have so many questions why we do certain things. And then we have a specific answer for them, which we will get to in a second. But it gives us the concept of bringing the kids getting the kids very much involved. Getting them involved in what the Seder process is. Getting them involved in asking questions. You know, we get the youngest one to ask the Manish Tana the four questions of why this night is different than all the other nights, why we don't eat chametz, why we don't eat matzah, why we dip our eggs, why we dip in salt water, and so on and so forth. So by bringing in the kids, it is a tremendous learning experience for them, but it also gives us the time to bond and let them have that freedom of asking any question they want. And obviously, everyone talks about that the holiday of Passover, it's all about the children, you know, they're the future, Jewish education, you know, is very important for them. You know, we just keep hearing about these things all the time. And wherever you go, you know, you hear a rabbi's sermon, you hear him talking about that, you hear, you know, Jewish leaders, they're talking about that, they're talking about the fact that the next generation is the most important, and so on and so forth. However, on Passover, we don't need to tune into, you know, to the rabbi's sermon, or we don't need to tune into older people talking about certain things in regards with our children, but we can hear this message loud and clear just from the festival of Passover. Because the whole highlight of Passover, the Seders, revolve around the children. The entire Haggadah, whenever once we start talking about the whole Haggadah, is a response to the questions asked by the children. Because the Haggadah has a specific message that we are to give to our children. It provides a, I would say, probably a tailor-made response for the four different types of children. You know, we have four sons that come to the table. We have the one that knows, that's very smart,
yeah.
The one that is a wicked person, the one that's dumb, and the one that doesn't even know how to ask their questions.
Yeah, not that issue.
Right, but Chassidut and Kabbalah bring down that there's not only four sons, there are really five sons. Because the fifth son doesn't even know that it's Pesach and doesn't even know to come to a Seder. And that is the son that we have to bring. That is the son that we have to find to be able to bring to our Seder. So that's, you know, it's a job that we have. So, you know, you have those four sons that are coming, but there is that fifth son that doesn't even know that it is Pesach yet.
And it's funny, we talked before this, before we started to record this interview about those students that might be somewhere there and can't get to the Seder. And
right.
That reminds me that issue.
Right. Correct, correct. And that's what we have to try and do. And that's one of the things, how do we do it? Is with networking. Look, with this radio show, it reaches so many people, so many students, so many other people. They listen to it, they know what's going on, they hear the events, they hear what's happening, and hopefully that can help them in finding what they're looking for.
You see, so we do something fun, and we do a mitzvah, by the way, too.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, if you go and look, all the other holidays, for example, Hanukkah, it's very important, you know, we gathered all the children for the menorah lighting, Purim, you know, it wouldn't be the same if we didn't have a masquerade for children.
Yeah.
However, Passover requires the participation of the youth. And actually, not only do we just make them part of it, but they are the featured center of attention of the whole Seder. Because our whole reading of what we're talking about in Haggadah is based on their questions. It's based on why do we do this? And oh, you kids, you want to know why we do this? It's because we were slaves in Egypt and so on and so forth. So the children rarely become the focus of the whole attention. Now obviously adults, we may have, you know, the monopoly of maturity, but rarely there's so much that we can learn from the young while we impart this message of Pesach to our children. Because if you think about it, why is Pesach's message deemed more important for the children than any other message that is carried by any of the festivals? You know, we have Torah, which is joy, unity, repentance, and some of the major holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, are very, very much the epitome, the real backbone of who we really are. So, does that mean that, well, Pesach is the most important one, and therefore, this is where we have to, you know, really emphasize on the children, and what about all the other holidays? What about everything else?
Yeah.
Perhaps maybe one of the reasons for this extra attention is because that while we are intended to teach our children a certain message on every holiday, but on Passover, we're supposed to take a message from our children. Not are we supposed to tell them what's going on and give them the message, but we are supposed to take from them a message for ourselves. Why? Because maybe perhaps it's because we're trying to reenact the Exodus at a time which symbolizes our nation's youth. We were still young. We were just becoming the mature, if you want to say, adults are becoming a chosen nation. So, if you look in an adult life, we lead lives that are so much more complex. You know, there are decisions that we make that can be colored by many factors. How will this affect my career or my family, my vacation plans? Am I going to be accepted in my social status by other people? Youth, on the other hand, kids have naturally seek truth. And when they find it, or when they think they found it, everything that bothered them before, they'll leave everything behind to follow this inner truth that they found. And there's nothing binding them to any other particular person or course, and they are ready to drop their hat on anything that they did before, and if this is what they really find true, that this is the truth that they're looking for. They don't care what's going to happen, if they're going to be accepted or not accepted, because they're going in this in total innocence.
Yeah.
And Passover, we as Jews exhibited this youthful disposition, because we were willing to leave everything that we had behind, our whole life beforehand, in order to chase the truth in a desert. We weren't coming from a desert and now we're going to a nicer place. Yes, we had hardships, we were slaves, but we were coming from a place that we, you know, was a cold home for so many years. But now we were willing to go into the barren desert to go and search for that life. So in our lives also, we seek liberation. We wish to experience true freedom, to escape anything that might limit us. And the lesson that we can learn from Passover is that if we really want to experience true liberation, we must reconnect with our inner child. As long as we refuse to take that big leap, we will never be truly free. And this is true with regard when we're looking for spirituality. Leading a true spiritual life demands, obviously, a complete reversal, to follow God into the desert, leaving behind the lifestyle that we may have been comfortable with, that everything we weren't happy. And with jumping into God's embrace through complete Torah, dedication of Torah mitzvahs, we then relive our youthful years that we had when we left Egypt, and then we are true free. And that's something that we can learn and take from not only how we express the whole story of Pesach to the children, but we take the children's lesson to us. We become like a child. That's what we're supposed to do. Leave our struggles behind. Leave our old life on a mission, embark on a new, free, true, free life without service of God. And that's one of the lessons that I think is very, very important that we can take and learn from Passover, and especially from the children.
That's a great lesson and a great holiday.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
And there's a lot of food, too. I like those with the food.
There's so many food. You know, you can have matzo. You know, people are making the matzo braai and the gefilte fish and the matzo bowl soups, and there's so much food to eat. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
and everything,
amazing.
Everything has a meaning. That's the
exactly.
Nice thing about it.
Exactly. It's beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you again.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And next week we'll have you with Parashat HaShavua.
Yep. That's true.
And I hope that you and all our community will have a kosher Seder.
God willing, we should all have a happy, peaceful Passover. We should find the real meaning, the true freedom that we need, that all the Jews all over the world, especially in Israel, should have the true freedom of what we have always had, what we should be having, and what we truly deserve. That's what Passover is about.
Yeah. So thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, and hope you have a happy and healthy Passover to everyone also, and we will talk next week.
Chag Sameach.
You too. Be well.